from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. George Campbell, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. We're so glad you're with us. Thank you for joining us. 888-825-5225. Justin is starting off this hour in Salt Lake City. Hi, Justin. What's up?
Hi, how's it going, Dave?
Great, man. How can we help?
So I'm trying to be able to afford a house, and I've got a business running that's going about six figures this year. But I seem to be able to barely afford paying taxes, and I'm using credit to do that.
So you're just now starting to make six figures?
Yeah, this year will be the first year I will cross over that.
Are you working with a tax pro, or are you just ignoring the tax bills when they come? What's happened here that you've used credit to pay for it?
Well, estimated tax payments are every 3 months, and when I owe taxes, I get a little nervous about it, so I just pay what I can with my credit limit.
Are you self-employed?
Yeah, I'm self-employed, and I got a part-time job just to cover personal expenses, other stuff, I guess, like food.
Yeah, so you're making taxable income of $100,000 a year?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, your quarterly estimates should be no more than a fourth of your net profit on your business. How much of the $100,000 is net profit on your business?
About $50,000 of it, like half.
And then the other half is your part-time job?
Well, the part-time job is only about a fourth of the...
Where's the other fourth coming from?
Income? Well, so I've got about $100,000 coming from the business, and then only about $30,000 coming from my part-time job.
Okay. Net profit on the business is $100,000.
No, net profit would be about $50,000.
So that adds up to 80, though. It would be your income. You said 30 from the part-time job, 50 from the business. So where's the other 20 coming from?
You don't have $100,000 income. You have an $80,000 income.
No, yeah. So it's over 100 gross, not net.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, gross revenues, not profit. Taxable household income is 80. You make a $50,000 profit on your business and 30 on your side job. Am I missing something?
No, that's correct.
Okay, so the $50,000, when you make that money each month, you should be setting aside a fourth of that. So it's about $4,000 a month. So you should be setting aside $1,000 a month for taxes out of your business so you don't get behind on your taxes. Every time you make money in the business, you should set aside a fourth of it.
Pretend profit. Like it doesn't exist.
And set it aside, because then when you get ready to pay your quarterly estimates, you'll have the money to pay it. You're not budgeting in your business for taxes. And then when the taxes come due, you're borrowing them. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. You got to stop that. It's not working for you.
Yeah, I try to put away at least 10%.
No, it's 25. Lately. 10% is not covering it. That's why you're coming up short.
Yeah.
Because you got both sides of FICA. You got 15.3 right there. 15.3% your self-employment tax alone before you get to income tax, and then about another 10 for your income tax on that. And so you're going to have a solid 25 in your case. And so it's $1,000 a month if you're making $50,000. You got to set that aside because your quarterlies are going to be $3,200, somewhere in that range, when you do your quarterly estimates, and you need to have the cash already in the account because you set the money aside knowing that bill was coming out of your profits. You're withholding on yourself. That's the way that works. And then that stops all the borrowing. The reason you're getting in a pinch is your cash flow system sucks.
Right.
And there is no try here. You saw I try to put, just auto draft it to savings. Do whatever you have to do. Just never see that money.
If you were working somebody making $50,000, they would take it out of your check before they gave you any money. And then you would try to live on the rest. not I tried to pay my taxes. So you got to do that to yourself is what I'm saying. Because the last thing you want to owe is the freaking KGB, I mean the IRS. They're the last people on the planet you want to be. You get you nervous, makes me nervous too. They got unlimited power and they charge a lot for penalties and interest.
And Justin, you called asking how to get a house. I think right now we got to put pause on that while we clean up this debt, get an emergency fund in place, cut up the cards, close those accounts. Then we can start thinking about a down payment.
Yeah, you got to get your debts cleaned up and get your system right to where you actually know what you've got to work with to start saving towards buying a house. So, how much debt do you have?
Currently, I just got out of debt after this past tax payment. I cleared the credit just using the business income.
Good.
Okay, so you cleaned up the credit.
But are now, when's your next quarterly estimate due?
That would be after June, so I guess June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a month
away. How
much
money set aside for that?
Currently, almost $1,000. I'm still working on baby step number one.
No, this is not a baby step. Setting money aside out of your business for taxes is not a baby step. It's before you do anything with the money.
Okay.
Then you have baby steps with money that's left over.
So I'd be selling stuff, working that part-time job, so you have $4,000 by the time those quarterly estimates are due.
Yeah, you do not, and you just got 45 days, not even. You got 30-something days to be ready for that estimate. So that's your main thing right now. Just take all your money out of your business and set it aside for taxes so you don't get caught up.
So, yep. Dave, this is a new entrepreneur. So what advice would you give to those who are going, Dave, I'm self-employed for the first time. I don't really know. No one taught me how to do this the right way. What are the first few things you tell them to do?
Open a separate checking account for your business. All of the income for your business goes into that account. Only expenses for that business come out of that account. The difference that's in that account on cash basis accounting is profit. You know, in other words, revenue minus expenses equals profit. And that's what's going to show up in that checking account. If you don't do anything except business things in that account, then whatever's in that account at the end of the month, that's new money at the end of the month that wasn't there last month, okay, and we put an additional $2,000 into this account net of expenses, that's profit. Then you need to set aside a fourth of that and open a little savings account over the side and set that over there. In his case, it's $1,000 a month. He needs to be setting $1,000. If he's making 50 profit, he needs to be setting aside $1,000 a month over in a separate savings account, not to be used for anything except the taxes that come up once a quarter. And you have to file quarterly estimates by your second year in business, or you get penalized for not filing, much less not paying. So you don't get out of it by not filing, just like you don't get out of it by not filing your taxes. This is The Ramsey Show. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. April is in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Hi, April. How are you?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up?
So we actually live in beautiful Salmon, Idaho. It's a remote vacation destination. My husband and I have been remotely working for the last 2 years. We have $1.4 million in cash. We owe $360,000 on our house. My question is, we're officially debt-free if we pay that house off. Our jobs are kind of going away. So we can move back to a city, get stable jobs. I run a business in Boise, Idaho, and that business kind of needs my help, or else I'm going to have to run it half of the year instead of full year. My husband can get his really good job back, or we could buy a second home somewhere else and kind of do the snowbird lifestyle. My question is this. We have 7 children, ages 19 to 6, and we did skip baby step number 5. So how important is it that we keep our income higher, be more stable, support them through college, or do we kind of go for the dreams, I guess, and trying to work on careers that we love and places we love to live.
And the kids fend for themselves.
Kind of.
Just turn them loose.
Well, no, but I mean, I don't know. Part of our idea is going to Florida half a year, working there. My husband's a nurse. He can travel nurse. I can start another side gig or do mine half the year when we live in Idaho. They can go to school there. We can support them, I guess, with housing, but not as much with money.
What's your current house worth with the mortgage on it?
$700,000.
Okay, and you owe about half of that. You could pay it off today.
Yes.
But you're thinking about selling this and moving for work.
No, we would pay this. My number one option is to pay this house off, enhance it so it's more rentable because we can add things to it because it's a destination in the wilderness. And so we can add some more rental options to it and make money off of it while we're not here. And then we could buy a second home for cash in like Florida or Arizona, somewhere warm. My husband can make pretty good money in nursing, travel nursing. And then I would probably get a seasonal side gig in the winter. And then in the summers, I would run my business in Boise half of the year. But it's kind of messy that way. That's kind of what I want to ask is.
That sounds like empty nesters. That doesn't sound like seven kids.
Yeah, I know. We would probably net $200,000 a year if we did the snowbird kind of lifestyle with our kids. And we would probably net $400,000 if we went back to the city and kept things stable.
Could you do the $400,000 option until we get college taken care of and kind of get our financial situation in order?
How old is the youngest?
Six.
No. You couldn't.
We need like a 10-year plan. We're going to graduate 4 kids in 5 years.
I don't think there's a wrong answer unless you call me up later and say the children were forced to get student loans because they're not forced to do that.
No, they're not. And our oldest kids did a lot of dual credit. So they have 2 years done of school. Our younger kids are already working on dual credit. Yeah. Our youngest probably will go for scholarships.
Can you cash flow their school with their help? Can they, with your help, cash flow their school if you do your snowbird option?
We just make less that way. The other way would be...
I know you make less. I said, can they get through college without debt if you do the snowbird option?
I think so. I do.
I don't want to just dream this. I want to lay it out on paper. Kid number one's going to need X. Kid number two is going to need Y. Kid number three is going to need Z. Kid number four is going to need A. Kid number five is going to need B. And we lay out the money. We look at it, and the kid's going to do this. They're going to get the credits. They're going to go. They're going to work. They're going to go to this school. It's going to cost. It's going to cost a certain amount of money. And here's how much we have. And we're going to tear into this $1 million in order to do this. In order to supplement what they can't cover so they don't have student loans and what you can't cash flow because you did the snowbird option. If you can pull all that off, I'm fine with it. And you're going to haul them back and forth from Florida to Boise, right?
Right.
Okay. As long as you want to do all that, I'm good with it. But it kind of sounds like your snowbird thing is like as if you didn't have children or something.
I know.
I mean, because when I said haul them back and forth, you went, eh. Did you hear yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the ones that live with us would have to go back and forth. The ones that are launching, which two of them are, you know, they can decide.
Well, then we only got 5 to haul.
Yeah.
How old are you two?
46 and 47.
I'll give you a medium plan halfway between.
Okay.
Probably doesn't work, though. Well, it might work. I mean, you could go do the 400 for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that would launch the vast majority of the kiddos, and then the snowbird wouldn't involve hauling as many children on its back.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Maybe we just need a little more time of being stable.
Yeah. I mean, you can do either one, but part of the downside for me on your plan is hauling a whole truckload of kids back and forth twice a year, because you're upsetting teenagers' social networks and family and everything else. You're resetting. I mean, Sharon and I, it's just us. We can run back and forth and stay wherever. And I mean, we don't, nobody cares particularly, except grandkids griping about Mimi not being around. But other than that, I mean, there's no, we're not hauling people around. It's just me and her. We can go with a backpack and go. But you guys, you got a lot of stuff you're moving around, a lot of human beings you're moving around there. So it's just however you want to do it. But mathematically, be sure whatever plan you're going to do, that you map it all the way out. Begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey said.
And that's where I was thinking, if she could use the $400,000 income and quickly, you know, front load a bunch of 529s for the young kids, cash flow the older ones, that can get them in a good spot.
Yeah, do that for 2 or 3 years, not forever. Not then, necessarily till the 6-year-old leaves.
And the snowbird plan becomes maybe a 5-7 year
plan.
Well,
not even. Maybe a 3 or 4. I mean, you could do it for 3 or 4. They've already got $1 million clear, plus a house clear. So, you know, approaching a $2 million net worth already. So, well done, by the way, on that, April.
Awesome.
Well done. So, I just want you to be really intentional and thoughtful and just map this out, the whole thing out, like it was a business plan. And you're, you know, you're estimating your cash needs and your cash sources. And my cash sources, my income, my needs are tuition and travel and whatever else we're doing here. And do we do that on 200 and deplete the million, or do we do that on 400 for 3 years and then we'd never touch the million?
I like that plan too.
You know, something like that. Somewhere in there is your answer, but just run it. Accountants would call it a sources and uses. Okay, what's your income sources and what are your uses, and map that out through the last kid getting through college, and then let's figure out which way we're going to go. And that'll give you an answer that feels that feels peaceful. But just kind of going, well, I think I might. No, that doesn't work.
And the next family movie night, everyone watch Borrowed Future as a family, because that will spark the conversations about how we're going to go to college debt-free. And that'll get them moving. But I don't like the option of they all just figure it out and go get student loans.
Yeah.
We can do better than that.
Turning loose 7 kids feral is not a good plan. This is The Ramsey Show. Thanks for joining us, America. We're glad you're here. Open phones at 888-825-5225. If you've never been to one of our smart conferences, well, that's not smart. You need to go. You'd be smarter if you go. That's why we call them that. We'd love to have you. Hey, our next one's going to be in Chicago. The first time ever we've done a smart conference in Chicago. Smart Conference Weekend is going to be September 15 and 16. We'll be Friday night all day Saturday. I'll be there with all of the Ramsey personalities, and we will be teaching you life hacks about money, relationships, boundaries, and of course, with Ken Coleman, we'll be talking about work and careers. So a little bit of everything will be covered all day Saturday and then that Friday evening. The early bird prices for general admission is only $79. We do have an exclusive dinner with me and the other personalities. Only a handful of people can come to this, and that's the Platinum Plus ticket. We also have Platinum and Gold tickets. We've got, you know, up front, we got book signings, we got all kinds of stuff built into this that you can do. $79 your minimum entry, and that'll get you in the door, and that's definitely worth it. Oh my gosh, you'd pay $279 to hear any one of these speakers and best-selling authors at another location. So make sure you're planning to come. Again, Chicago, great weekend to make it, September 15 and 16, and tickets are on sale right now at RamseySolutions.com/events. Amanda's next in Salt Lake City. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What's up?
So about 5 years ago, we bought our first house, and we based the location based on where we were working at the time. Obviously, things have changed in the past few years. I started a job last year that I really love, and it was remote. And my husband still works remotely, but a couple months ago, they required us to start coming back into the office. I love the job. It has helped us in a lot of ways financially as well, not just because of the pay, but they have a subsidized daycare for the kids of employees. So we bring our kids there. They serve breakfast and lunch at the office and at daycare. So we're saving on our food bill every month. But my commute is about 2 hours round trip, depending
Good
on
Lord.
Traffic. Yeah. So, and that's with the kids because the daycare is right across the street from the office. So what we're wondering is, should we sell our house right now and try to move closer? I do want to be at this job long term, or should we move out and rent the house and just rent closer to the office? We're just trying to figure out a the
You said your husband's remote?
Yeah, he's remote. He's looking for another job right now and might come to work where I work because he sees how much I love it, but might work remotely. Not sure, but currently remote.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I would keep yours as a rental and go rent for a while because you plan on being there long term, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's just time to move.
Yeah, just sell your house. You like the community that the workplace is in?
Yeah, it's in a nice area.
Can you afford it?
Yeah.
Is the housing market much different?
Not a ton different. We just here in where we are, house prices have gone up a lot, which is good and bad. Good because we have some equity, and so if we sold, we'd have a nice chunk of change for a down payment. But it also is bad because things are a lot more expensive than when we bought 5 years ago.
That's okay. What would your house sell for today?
About $444,000.
Okay, go buy a house for $450,000 in the other place. Sell your house.
Okay.
Even swap, and you're just down the street. No two-hour commutes. Anything wrong with that plan?
I guess just we kind of don't want to go through the hassle of moving.
Nobody does.
I don't want to go through the hassle of driving 2 hours.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
After about 2 days, I'm moving.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're doing it.
It's hard to find. I know. Well, I listen to your show, even though my toddler says, I don't want to.
Well, but, I appreciate that you get 2 hours of us, but I still would move.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow.
The tricky thing is things that are $450,000.
Your house is $450,000.
The office are.
And you told us the house prices were similar. Your house sells for $450,000. Go buy another $450,000. Don't use this as an excuse to screw up your life and buy us $850,000. You can't afford $850,000. Go buy $450,000. You live in $450,000 now, same house prices.
Okay, sounds good.
You can do this.
Thank you.
And just it's going to cost you a little bit to move, but you're going to get a quality of life. 4 freaking hours a day. I mean, what's that worth?
A lot.
Yeah.
And go jump on RamseySolutions.com, get connected with one of our real estate ELPs, endorsed local providers, who can help you with this, and also check out our friends at Pods Moving and Storage for this move to make it smoother.
Yeah, both those things will really help make the process easier, for sure.
Take the headache out.
Yeah, but I mean, if you come up $10,000 short when you're done with this whole thing, so would he. You know, you're just debt-free, you're making the move, you got a great job, you like the place, your husband likes the place, you like the community. Make the move. And if you don't want to buy right now, sell yours and go rent over there until you're ready to buy over there. But don't rent for 5 years and think the house prices are going to come down. No, they're not. They're going up. So remember 5 years ago when your house? Yeah, I remember. Okay. Brandon is in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave, I appreciate you taking my call. Get to the point. My wife and I are saving for a house. We have about $33,000 saved currently. However, our family is growing. We have two kids, a dog, and we have a kid on the way as well during November. We need to get a new car to accommodate our family. And was just wondering.
You mean a
what
different
think
car?
About... Correct. A different car.
What do you got now? What kind of cars you got now?
So I have a 2000 Honda. It needs a lot of work. I'm honestly not really driving it. I have a drive a work truck to work, and my wife drives a 2013 Sentra, and we just feel like we need something bigger.
What will the Sentra sell for?
My guess is maybe $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah, sounds right. What would the Honda sell for?
Oh man, maybe $1,000.
No, about $3,000.
About three. I mean, because it needs a transmission.
Oh, well, not in that case. Okay. All right. I'm going with your $1,000 then. Okay. So we got $6,000 or $7,000 worth of cars that we're going to sell, and we're going to take $7,000. Do you have any money? Oh, you got $33,000 for a down payment on a house.
Yeah, we have a $12,000 emergency fund. We have $33,000 on the house. So we were thinking maybe taking some of that house fund and reallocating it, and just wanted to hear your perspective on if you think that's an okay idea. Or
what's your household income?
Together this year, we'll probably do about $140,000 gross.
And what are you thinking about spending on a car? You got seven from cars.
Yeah, I mean, from what we've been looking at, I don't know if we're kind of overshooting. We feel like we need a third row, and, you know, so we've been looking at maybe $20,000 or less.
They each need a row?
Three kids and we have a dog as well.
The dog goes everywhere in the car?
Not everywhere.
Well, good God. You don't buy a car for a dog, dude.
Okay.
Okay, so what'd you do? You come up to $30,000 now on the car?
Well, no, 20 or less.
Yeah. Yeah, way less. Hey, every dollar you spend on this stupid car is going down in value through the toilet. Every dollar you spend on this house is going to go up in value.
Right.
And better for your family long term. So I'm going to minimize this car. I'm going to take $7,000, put a little bit with it. Let's call it max of 15. That still leaves you 25 for a down payment on your house. Don't screw up your house deal by buying a car for the dog.
It's going to slow down the savings goal. And so that's the part that's going to hurt if you drop a whole lot of money on this car.
Oh.
Right.
There's a balance there.
Okay.
These dogs are getting expensive.
Listen, we've thought about it, Dave. The third row for the dogs.
If you buy it, I'll kill you, George. You're already pet ramping.
Listen, we returned the pet ramp, Dave. The saga's over. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. No pet ramps.
We taught our dog how to jump.
One fewer things to make fun of George on. This is The Ramsey Show. Our scripture of the day is Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Andy Andrews says, life itself is a privilege, but to live life to the fullest, that is a choice. George Camel, Ramsey personality, YouTube star of the George Camel YouTube show, is my co-host today. John is with us. John is in New York City. Hi, John. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
George and Dave, what a pleasure to speak to you both.
You too, sir. What's up?
Thank you. So I have a question, and then I'll give you the rundown behind it. I'm currently employed. I'm happy at my job. I'm getting opportunities to make pretty nice chunk of change more in other jobs. That's pretty much a similar position. So I'm currently 28 years old. I have about $40,000 in savings. I'm debt-free thanks to following all your principles for many years. I rent and $90,000 base salary right now, and I have a good margin after, you know, each month. And I'm just, you know, I'm living comfortable per se, a little high cost of living area. So I'm just wondering, I'm getting all these opportunities to go to jobs that I can make about maybe $30,000-$40,000 more. And I just don't know what to do because I have a, you know, pretty nice culture where I'm at now, but it's very tempting, you know? So I'm looking for your,
what are these other jobs? Do you think you'd be miserable in them? Are the people toxic? I mean, is it worth the $30,000 jump, or is it, hey, these are good people too, good company?
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be an okay jump if I were to. I stayed at one company for 3 years, and then this one for 2 years. So I don't necessarily like being a job hopper.
That's not the point. The point is, are you jumping into a toxic mess?
Doesn't seem like it. I've been in the industry for 5 years, and I know a lot of the manufacturers. I'm pretty much a salesman for building materials. So
it's a similar role?
Yeah, similar role.
And it's where you want to go long-term in your career?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable in this career. Made tons of relationships, and it's
I mean, the premise rewarding of your question is that the culture's not as good at the other place. If the culture's as good as your place, and it's $30,000 more, why would you not do that?
I don't know. It's just, I put so much effort into my current position. I built a lot of relationships over the past 2 years, and, it took a while to build a lot of trust with some customers and everything. So
are you going
to
start over?
I won't have the same customer base, but, it's the same title and everything. So going, calling on a similar industry professionals, but not
so ride an existing customer base or go get a new one for $30,000 more. And that's mm-hmm. assuming that the environment, the culture is as good. Is this the proposal?
Yeah. 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 And that's, assuming there.
So the only strain is you starting and having to do some scratching and clawing.
Yes. And one thing I want to mention as well, if you don't mind, what do you think about, should I mention it to my employers now? And I don't know if I can receive a counteroffer in any way, or is there a way to approach that situation?
Well, I think we need to go back to first, are you going to leave?
Okay.
Okay, because if you're going to go over to a toxic company and you have mm-hmm. to scratch and claw, no, I wouldn't do that for $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go do that. But if you can find a company mm-hmm. where the relationships, the quality of humans, the value system is as appealing as where you are, and you can make $30,000, and the only thing you got to do is do a little bit of heavy lifting for the first 2 years, no whining, go do it.
Yeah.
Okay? So now, if that's the case, then let's go to your other question. And the best way to think about how to do business ethics or conversations with leaders is switch roles in your mind. Let's say you owned a building materials company and you had a great sales guy on your team that you really liked, and another place offered him $30,000 more. What would you want him to do?
Me personally, I would say maybe let's find a happy medium here.
I would love the opportunity, if you're the employer, to know it and say, hey, these guys came in, they call me, they're offering $30,000 more, and I'm not in here trying to hold you up or anything. I'm not trying to blackmail you. I just wanted to give you this information because I like being here. How do you think we can work through this? If you told a leader that, they're not going to be angry. They're going to go, we can't pay you that. You should go. Or they're going to go, well, crud, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we can get you to 30 today, but we can probably get you 20 and get you another 10 if you did these three things. Or something like that, right?
Right.
But if they value keeping you, they would value the information that you might be leaving.
I like that. Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's just, but the big thing is, don't go in. This is not a swagger. This is just gentle. This is not cocky. This is like, hey, these other guys, and I like it here, and I like you. And I like, I like my customer base. I like what I'm doing. But $30,000, I mean, what would you tell me to do if you were my friend? Yeah. Ask the leader that, right? And go, I just thought you'd want this information. And I don't know, let's talk about how we work through this together, because I like being here. And instead of like, you got to give me 30 or better, or you got to match it, or I'm out the door, I would tell you to hit the door.
Yeah.
You'd fire, if that was you, you'd fire somebody for that. I would too. I'm not going to be blackmailed, but I love information on people I love and that they've got opportunity. And if I can't match it as the employer that I care about my people, then I'll just say, we can't pay that here. It doesn't make sense to us. So, man, I'm sorry, but I hate to lose you, but good luck with that. I hope it works out for you, and I'll just set you free,
Right. Right. That's why, then I would be prepared to, leave. So that's why
you got to have in your mind that's why I solved the problem first.
Yeah, you got to be emotionally ready for them to go, sorry, we can't, and then you go, all right, I guess I'm out.
So I think your leader is probably going to step up and get you somewhere heading in that direction if you have this conversation gently and humbly. I think that's going to happen. Sarah's in San Francisco. Hi, Sarah, how are you?
Hi, Dave. Good. How are you doing?
Better than I deserve. We're a little short on the clock. Can you go fast?
I will. One of my dreams is to buy a house large enough that would take in my parents. They don't have any retirement, and it's been, again, one of my dreams, and it's an honor to take them back in. And just trying to decide if this is the right time for me to make that move and buy that larger home.
Are you renting right now?
No, I have a home right now.
How old are they?
My parents are 72 and 82.
Okay. And what does this involve? You're selling the house you're in, which sells for what?
So right now, my house would sell for about $1.7 million, and I owe about $600,000 on it.
Okay. And you would move up to what?
I would move up to $2.5 million.
So $800,000 increase. Okay.
Yes.
That's pretty generous.
Yeah.
you could pay a lot of rent for them and an apartment for $800,000.
Yeah, I don't think I need to be close by too, just for caretaking reasons as well.
Yeah, okay. So where's the $800,000 going to come from?
So I have liquid of $1 million right now.
All right, do it.
Do it? Yeah. Okay.
It's what you want to do with your money. You're a multimillionaire.
Yeah. You got about $1 million of equity plus your $1 million cash.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pay cash for the move and do it. Don't buy a house that is a bad house, that's a bad mother-in-law apartment, okay? Meaning that when you get ready to sell it after they're gone someday, that your house is weird. Don't buy a weird house. Just buy a big enough house that they've got a place to stay, and then when they're gone, the house is not a weird house. That puts The Ramsey Show in the books. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Hey, it's George Camel. If you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey Baby Steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click on the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. That's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.